Today, the long and the short of longevity. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by Tim Fuller from Nucleus Wealth. Hi, Tim.
G'day, Martin. How are you going?
Yeah, pretty good. Yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad today. Another big topic, longevity. Not always the easiest thing to think about, but hopefully we can give the audience a few pointers.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it's picking up from the earlier show. I'll put a link above, which sort of outlined the overall thinking about how to plan and, you know, financial planning and into retirement and all those things. But you then said you'd come back and talk in more detail at a more granular level, and we're going to pick longevity today. And I guess we should start with just what we mean by longevity to start with.
Absolutely. Yeah, so look, I guess longevity is somewhat of a thorny topic, I guess, for most people, but it is a crucial component of ensuring that you have the wherewithal through your retirement, you know, and don't run out of money, simply put. For most people, I kick off in the article just sort of talking about how if fruit and vegetables tasted like bacon, we'd all probably live a lot longer. A bit of a joke just to sort of get a thorny topic up and away. But the point of that is really to say, well, look, you know, you don't have to think long and hard about it, but it is worthwhile just giving it some thought in order to put a bit of a wrapper around, you know, your own life expectancy and that of your partners perhaps as well. And of course, that's a crucial component then in the timeframes for in how you invest and how long your money's going to last in retirement.
And that's really important, right? Because actually longevity, of course, has been growing over the last decades, right? So people today are likely to live into greater old age, hopefully more healthy old age as well. But nevertheless, the fact is that as the years tick by and you've saved this amount of money to start with, you're eating away, eating away, eating away. And the question is, have you got sufficient to cover you through the duration of your life, bearing in mind, of course, that there will be a series of unexpected events and financial commitments required through that retirement journey?
Well, that's right. You know, a big part of the whole piece and removing some of the uncertainty is really around, you know, is having that sort of endpoint sort of piece. And of course, anything can happen. And you've got to be flexible with these things as well. But it's nice to have a bit of a start. I kick off by just sort of talking around some different ways that you can quantify, I guess, that longevity piece for yourself. Personal factors or looking at your own family history, of course, is a big one. Now, as you mentioned, though, what got people, you know, a generation or two ago may have actually been ruled out now, which is a wonderful thought. And, you know, it just goes to show both the, you know, the Australian lifestyle and the way that we are actually, you know, living longer now. But of course, what that can mean as well is you need more money to support yourself in those later years. The interesting thing there, I guess, from there is that, you know, you can look at your own family tree, and of course, you know, people, you know, if you've got relatives that have died of natural causes, that's not a bad place to start. And I sort of dropped in there, Carlton great coach David Parkin always said that, you know, find out what your grandfather and your father died of and then try not to let that happen to you. And, you know, that's a pretty good place to begin. But I guess on top of that as well, there are a number of industry opportunities as well. So the Australian Bureau of Statistics, the ABS, releases life tables, which can be pulled apart at a state level and also at a national level. And look, if you've got nothing else to go on, that can be not a bad position to sort of go, okay, well, given everything, given the way that the country's run at the moment and the way the health systems are, I'm expected to live till an age of, say, 85, 87 or whatever it is. So, look, it's just about having that number, which then, you know, crucially then builds into the investment side and obviously where the money's going to come from to support you in retirement.
The point there, of course, is that's a statistical average, right? But unfortunately, not everybody lands in the middle, right? So, you know, you might be earlier, but you might be a lot later, you know, and there are people quite often now getting up into their 90s and some even hitting the ton, right? And the question is, would your finances be able to support you for, what, the next 40 years or so? Of, you know, it's a big conundrum, right? And of course, part of the other issue here is when you move into retirement, quite often there's a bit of a temptation to go grab a bunch of capital and splurge it on holidays and, you know, the new car, et cetera, right? Which may make perfect sense in terms of, you know, lifestyle and what things you want to do. But you've always got this question about, do I spend now? Do I save for later? Right? And then the other side of it is, well, actually, what is retirement saving for? Is it meant to be to provide you with effectively the life that you want over your future? Or is it to leave a legacy for the next generation? Right? And that's, that leads to a whole bunch of family conflicts as well. So this is a big thorny issue.
Look, it really is, you know, and I'll get a lot more into the lifestyle and expenditure piece in probably in our next show, in the next L in the series. But looking back at the longevity side of things, look, you're right. You know, people are living longer, you know, the averages can certainly indicate to you, you know, or I should say, start as a bit of a basis point for your own perhaps tweaking as well. So if you're looking at your parents or your grandparents' sort of age when they passed away, or if they have passed away, then you've got to go, okay, well, you know, maybe they worked in a dangerous environment, maybe they smoked, maybe they did, you know, a number of things that aren't particularly relevant in my life. And so therefore you can be a little bit more comfortable that you're probably on the northern side of the average as opposed to the southern side of the average. And then it's really, you know, and once again, you know, you don't want to dwell too much on this, but it's about saying, okay, well, look, I've given it some thought and that's the crucial thing. And so therefore I've got some confidence behind that number. So then when you go forth and you go and have a look at the financial side, you've then got confidence in the outcome of the equation or of the projections as well. Mm. It's an interesting one, but it's certainly something I think that people should spend a bit of time in quantifying, and maybe not too much time, but you know, just enough to figure out a number, and then they can get started on the rest of it.
And so, what do you recommend? You know, from a planning perspective, do you sort of pick that median number, or do you say scenario one, scenario two, scenario three? I mean, how do you try and sort of turn that into something that's useful?
Yeah, look, great question. So, look, there's a number of different ways. You know, some people I've spoken to in the past had a very good idea of their, you know, their own mortality, and they basically said, righto, look, I want to make sure I've got X amount of dollars to enjoy myself up until this point, and then after that, you know, I'm in, you know, essentially, my health will potentially deteriorate to the point where I want to enjoy the money earlier rather than later. And of course, this is all really good information when you're putting together these models for people. Others, they don't really know, so you just take the you know, take the average, if you like. And as you say, you go, okay, well, you know, middle of the ground is, you know, maybe the ABS figure for their state, and then go, okay, scenario one might be that things finish up a little bit earlier, and then, you know, scenario two, obviously in the middle, and then scenario three might be, you know, best or worst case scenario. How you think about it is that you end up, you know, cracking the triple digits and making sure that you've got money there. Now, interestingly, though, on that point, often in my experience, you find that particularly people when they're sort of in their 80s and 90s, the amount of money that they need is dramatically different to and less to the earlier stages of retirement, for a lot of good reasons, obviously. You know, you're more active, you're getting around, you're, you know, overseas holidays when and if we ever are able to go on those again, you know, are more relevant to them. We're in the, you know, in the later stages of life, it's, you know, it's a simpler life, and, you know, you don't have as many costs to worry about. And crucially as well, obviously, is the implementation or inclusion of the old age pension, which, you know, obviously is there in the background for most people. It's a terrific social safety net that this country has. And you do actually find, in my experience, particularly in the later, well, much later stages of life, it gets to a point where they're actually banking some of the old age pension as well. So it just goes to show, you know, the level of expenditure in those stages of life.
Right. But on the other hand, you, of course, can have much higher healthcare costs, right? And what you find often is that the costs of healthcare go through the roof, other costs come down, But now the net might be that you actually end up spending a bit less than perhaps you are used to spending now. I guess the other side of it, it depends a bit on what we think inflation is going to do and what we think the economy is going to do and how much things are going to cost, right? Because, you know, if you had inflation like it was in the 80s when it was, what, 10, 15%, that would be a very different story to the current growth or inflation rates of, you know, not much at all.
Look, that's right, you know, and that's unfortunately, you know, you've got a lot of unknowns in the retirement planning space. Obviously, what we're speaking about today, the longevity piece, which you can, in a way, you can you know, zero in a little bit on, and the more a person thinks about it, you know, the easier that one is, and the more confidence you have behind the figure. Things like inflation, that's an interesting one, isn't it? You know, like, as we know, we're in a period now where, you know, inflation's low, and is it going to remain low? There's a lot of conjecture around, but I think it's probably always the better solution is to have a bit of a look at inflation in a long run sense, and then maybe just add a little bit, because what it's doing is it's putting fat into the overall projection, and it means that if inflation, for example, undershoots, then you're on the right side of it.
Fair enough. Well, look, this is all about good assumptions, isn't it? You know, it's all about, you need to think about these things, you need to make some assumptions. It won't be perfect, but it's better than not making any assumptions and therefore not doing any planning and not doing any thinking about what's in the future, right? Because that's the recipe for having no control over your financial future or anything else. So it's important to understand the limitations of it, but also to make sure that you do actually do some thinking. And, you know, the starting point is, okay, so X marks a spot today. How long is this runway going to be? And, you know, what? How many years is that? And what is that? What's the implication? I mean, it's a scary but really important place to start the conversation, isn't it?
Look, it is, you know, but there's a number of things that you can build into it as well. It's not just trying to madly push together the biggest pile that you can, retire and then, you know, just hope for the best that, you know, the mechanics of the stock market and, you know, inflation risks and all these sort of things aren't going to leave you high and dry at some point in the future. Another little piece that I sort of worked in there as well was having the idea of a career after your career, if you will, and that's another piece in the planning sort of, you know, maybe just when you're saying you're fleshing out your what your retirement might look like, and you know, thinking about working after you're supposed to be retired is probably not something that jumps to mind for many people. But in this country in particular, you are actually quite tax sheltered. There's a number of seniors tax offsets which raise your tax-free threshold, for example, which means that you can do or look to do some part-time work in your retirement. And for some people, it probably doesn't sound palatable at the moment, but getting something, you know, and look, it's quite a large amount. You can get sort of, you know, north of 30,000 earning before you start paying income tax, you know, which at the end of the day alleviates the drawdown of your super retirement money. And so, you know, if you're looking at, say, 50,000 required per year, you know, be drawing down 50,000 from your retirement savings, you know, is a big hit for most people. Whereas if you're supplementing, say, 20 or 30,000 by doing some part-time work that you potentially enjoy, then of course you're potentially halving the amount that you're drawing down on your super, which is going to extend it out a long way. And those are the sort of things where, you know, planning for those, you know, post-career careers can be important, you know, in the lead up to retirement, because it means that, you know, you're not stepping into the unknown. You've got some confidence around, you know, potential income sources. Now, it might be, you know, the same line of work, and, you know, consultancy is a commonly trodden path for many people in professional, you know, parts of the world. It may not be. It may be, you know, just purely kicking off in a completely new area that you always wanted to, and, you know, it needed a bit of extra training, or you've got to do some education work, which you might be able to tick off while you're actually in your pre-retirement stage. And it's just about firming up, you know, income sources that aren't going to just necessarily mean you're relying holistically on your retirement savings and obviously shortening its potential. So, and then just finally, I guess, and this is probably obviously not financially driven, but looking at things like volunteering, and this is probably going back to the personal longevity side as well, where getting involved in the community, getting human interaction or social interaction back. Quite a lot of people have social interaction at work, and then when work finishes, a big component of their personal life can fall away. And I've seen very successfully a lot of people that have gone into retirement that have then started looking at the multitude of different volunteering opportunities that are around, and they're actually, you know, then rebuilding or building a social network in that regard, often with great quality people who also like volunteering. So, you know, you can't speak highly enough of people that are happy to do that. But those are the sort of things that actually help your longevity, because, you know, time and time again, you see when people finish work, they almost set a timer on speeding up their, you know, the second part of their life, or the final part of their life, because they're missing a number of factors, and you've got to try and get those back. So
I think that's a very important observation. And look, I've got to the point, I'm over the hill, right? So, but I'm...
I wouldn't say that, Martin. Come on.
but
you're one of the hardest working guys I know.
but look, I do this because I really enjoy doing it, right? So I left my, you know, mainstream job some years ago when it was mostly, frankly, large organization politics stuff, right? I mean, I did do a bit of consulting, but now I'm doing the things I want to do and love doing and enjoy doing. So I get huge personal satisfaction from doing something that I want to do. I don't have to do it to the same concentration that I did, although I'm tending to because I love it so much. But the point is, it gives you that segue, right? And I think that's really important. So, you know, thinking about what are the other things that I'm going to do beyond the point of retirement is really critical, right? So it should be not just a sort of a drop off a cliff and do nothing. It should be a, you know, a taper and a controlled migration. That all takes thinking, though. It just doesn't happen, right? And I know a number of people who basically got to the end of their working life and the cliff is there, and they then have to try and pick themselves up and say, okay, now what do I do, right? Whereas if actually they'd landed a bit of planning ahead of time, they could have actually managed that transition, because that transition is a really big deal.
Oh, look, absolutely. And you know, there's so many different facets of the volunteering and community sort of space that no doubt the skills that you use every day in your current career pre-retirement are somewhat applicable, and you can, you know, can be a tremendous impact, you know, on the other side as well. And that's, you know, it's going back to that, you know, essentially that planning or that navel-gazing piece of saying, okay, well, you know, when I finish up this, you know, 9-to-5 job or whatever it is, more often than not, more than that, you know, if that just immediately stopped in the future, then, you know, what's the rest of my life going to look like? And, you know, where can I do things now that are, as you say, going to prevent that cliff? The other one as well, actually, is quite interesting, is the idea of the transition to retirement. And obviously this is quite employer centric, you know, and it can really depend on, you know, where you work and how you work. But, you know, dropping back to a few days a week, which is, you know, essentially the same as, you know, getting those lower income jobs or part-time jobs anyway, and sort of doing that transition piece. And then that way you are sort of getting half a week of quasi-retirement and still getting some money in the door and not having to draw down on your savings. So, look, I guess the key takeaway is there's lots of different paths. It shouldn't be a scary thing, but as you say, you know, it just requires a little bit of consideration. And of course, there's always professional help from the financial side to shore up that projection and calculation piece as well.
Absolutely. Well, Tim, I appreciate your comments today. And we'll put a link to the article, which is, I think, well worth a read. And, you know, it's never too early to start thinking about this stuff, not to be morbid, but just to be realistic about the future. There are choices, there are options, there are also various forms of advice that, you know, you can go get as well. And, of course, you know, the Nucleus Wealth and What the Wealth Funds are part of the story once you've got that contextual piece wired up.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And I sort of finished off my article just with a little bit of a financial investment sort of takeaway, just for those that perhaps are a little bit closer or in retirement, and this article's, you know, or this show's piqued your interest. And just a commonly trodden approach is what they call the bucket approach, where you start segmenting out the amount of money that you've got, and then applying risk to sort of take advantage of growth markets, but also, of course, secure a certain, you know, number of years as well. So it's well worth a read, I think, for people that are in that position. They're comfortable in perhaps the investment space, or, you know, they know what they're doing, but they just want a little bit of help with some strategy for retirement, and take it from there. But always happy to chat to, have we settled on the Wanderers? What's our collective for the Walk the World Fellowship?
Well, I think the Wanderers seems to have landed as one thing. So at the moment, it's the Walk the World Wanderers.
I'm happy with that. I think it was fairly widely accepted in the comments as well. But yeah, if there's anyone else has got anything there, I'm always happy to chat to your audience. Yeah, there's always some wonderful topics that come out, particularly at the moment, you know, and there's a lot going on in the world, and you know, people are reaching out, which is wonderful.
I will just say, you know, the beauty of what you offer is, you know, a direct point of contact with yourself, but also the ability then to sort of push them on to various different advice forms, depending on what they need, right? And I find that when I talk to a lot of my people in the one-to-one sessions, their real question is, who do I go to find the right route for getting the right advice, right? So in a way, I regard you as a bit of a sort of a traffic cop as well.
Yeah, well, you could probably say that. Look, I'm happy to wear that. Look, being in the space that you are, where you do get a lot of what we sort of call greenfield interests, where people have got a rough idea that they need help, but they don't know where to start. I think reaching out to us to have a chat around those initial things is a great step. Certainly doesn't hurt. There's no obligation in any way. And obviously, we're linked in with some terrific independent advisors as well, which are always happy to make referrals to for the broader and more thorough work that we don't do online through Nicholas Wealth.
Yeah, Tim, I appreciate that. And probably down the track, I might try and get hold of some of those independent advisors and get some more direct perspective from that perspective as well, because I think it's a really important conversation. This landscape is a bit complicated, but it is navigable if you start the journey and take it step by step. I'll look forward to your next L in one of your next shows, right? Because there's two more to do. So I'll look forward to coming back and having another chat with that later on.
Wonderful, Martin. Yeah, no, look, looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good series, and there's plenty to get plenty of information to pass on and for people to get something out of.
Terrific, Tim. Thanks for your time once again, and we'll chat again soon. Take care.
All the best. Thanks, Martin. Cheers.